you feel it deeply and you brought so much to it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the themes in there are very, very close to home for me.
It's one of these pieces that uses a little secret, the scordatura tuning, right? The lowest string of the cello is tuned down a half step to make it like darker. And, you know, all of our listeners with perfect pitch who are wondering, yes, that was a lower string than the cello normally has. What does that do for you as you play it and the cello is making this unusually dark sound?
Gosh, I feel like I really got to focus on the frequencies of the cello. You're supposed to think of playing this piece in a very dark, big, echoey room. And I feel like I'm able to get to that point more easily because I'm playing with different frequencies. And the new frequencies allow me to listen to the cello and the sounds it's making and the way it echoes in my house or wherever I'm playing it.
Tell me more about what you've learned about this piece. I mean, you even know the composer, right? You have a personal connection with her.
Yes, just yesterday, actually, she reached out to me to really discuss what the piece means to her and play through and get her ideas out.
She reached out to you?
Through another person, yes.
Beethoven never reached out to me.
Maybe you misspelled Beethoven's email. No, but yeah, we got that connection and I'm very grateful for it.
Tell me about meeting with her and what you learned.
She had a lot to say on the origins of the feeling. We were all in solitude, and with solitude comes thoughts and feelings that maybe we wouldn't have time to really dig into if we had lived our lives just as we did the year before.
Right, right. Yeah. There's definitely a haunting quality to that piece. You know, you performed it so beautifully and you brought the emotion that it needed.
Thanks.
And when you have that personal connection to the music you're playing, how does that affect the process of learning and performing the piece?
I found myself really reflecting on how COVID helped and hurt me, because I was going into my teenage years during the pandemic, and that definitely had a large impact on my career as a musician and a student musician.
What were the pros? What were the cons of those months? I mean, even years.
I see it as my turning point in music. I had played cello since I was 3 years old, and it was kind of just a part of who I was. You know, like, here's my hand, here's my hair, here's my cello. But when I had time to really dig into what music means to me and how I can use my music in times where it's really needed, such as COVID, that was really the switch to where I knew I wanted to pursue music.
I've heard this concept of a defining catastrophe, and I think COVID was like that for a lot of us. As awful as it was, we discovered things, we learned things about ourselves and about our relationship to music. So I'm glad that it helped cement your dedication to music. It also gave you a chance to find the healing power of music through some teaching that you got into, right?
Yes. Just in the middle of COVID, I got really stressed out for my school orchestra. I really did not want those programs to die. So I just took in a few students, whoever had the time on their hands, who still remembered what their instrument was, and just gave them little lessons for free. Wow. I think it was a good use of my time when I had so much of it. Just to play music and just to connect with people was just really important at that time.
Yeah, for sure. I want to talk a little bit about your relationship with your mom. I know it's a special one and it's really important to you.
Yes, of course. My mom, she's always gone above and beyond to make sure I have a really wonderful childhood. I grew up in museums and reading books and just stimulating my mind in so many ways. She wanted us to play an instrument, and it was such a beautiful childhood for me. And I'm starting to realize as I get older how much she actually was a part of that, and it was most of it. Mm. And now we compare ourselves to like the Gilmore Girls, the show. We always like turn to each other and we're like, Gilmore Girls moment.
Yeah.
We see ourselves bonding the way that they did, which is really special.
I know that you're part Mexican and you've participated in camps organized by the Sphinx organization. I want to know, what was that like and how did it affect your sense of your own cultural identity?
That camp was so special to me. it was really the first camp since the pandemic. And mm-hmm. that jump from middle school camps to high school camps was really a shocking one and an important one, I think. When I think of my own playing, I think of that as another landmark for before Sphinx and after Sphinx, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I sort of went into the program a little bit nervous because I didn't think that I really qualified as a part of that heritage. I have the heritage, but I feel like I don't look the part sometimes. So I was really nervous to go in. And my friends there, which I still have contact with today, we all kind of revealed 3 or 4 days into the camp that we all felt the same way. We were kind of like, yeah, I feel like I'm not Mexican enough either, or I don't feel like I have enough heritage in me to be here. And I think that was so beautiful because it really showed all of us that heritage is fluid. And music is obviously a binding factor when you go to camps like that. But we also had the heritage part that we were all getting to know together.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about that. And thank you for sharing it. My wife is half Mexican. And I know, like, for her, because she didn't grow up speaking Spanish, I know she's talked about having a similar sort of relationship with her heritage. But I think that you go to a place like that in a way to help get in touch with that part of your identity.
Yeah.
Carter, it's been such a pleasure, and you've performed and spoken so eloquently. Really great to get to know you.
Thank you so much.
Carter Medina from Kansas City, Missouri, 17 years old. You're listening to From the Top, and I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Did you know that From the Top posts short, beautiful videos of our young musicians every day? The series is called Daily Joy. Treat yourself to youthful inspiration daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. The Jack Kent Cook Young Scholars Program provides pre-college scholarships for high-performing seventh-grade students with financial need. JKCF.org. From Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And from the estate of Jane Gross, whose bequest supports NPR's commitment to creating a more informed public by distributing programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism.
Welcome back to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, Peter Dugan, and I'm so grateful to be here with all of you this week and every week, thanks to the generosity of Susan and Gerald Slavitt. The musicians we're meeting today share not only a passion for their music, but also a bold vision for what they can contribute to our world. Here is Jaheim James, who epitomizes this drive and whose love of his unique instrument is absolutely infectious. Jaheim, welcome to From the Top. You have a massive instrument there with you. What is that?
My instrument is a euphonium. It's a Bessin Prestige 2052-2, silver plated.
I love it. You're a true euphonium nerd. Give our listeners a quick rundown of what is a euphonium.
It's a conical instrument. You could say that it could be a tenor tuba, because that's what sometimes they call it in Britain, where it usually is played in brass bands. But I would go to say that this is a solo instrument. It plays solos beautifully, and I think that's the main thing that it's made for.
What are you going to be performing, and who's with you at the piano?
I'm going to be performing Pantomime by Philip Spark, and the piano player is Erica Miller.
Anything we should be listening for?
I just like the flair and how many different tones and feelings that you can gain from this piece, from the 10-8 or just like the very calm 5-4 and then the rush of the end.
Great. Whenever you're ready, you two can take it from the top.
Great. From the top.
That was 18-year-old Jaheim James from Winter Haven, Florida, performing Philip Spark's Pantomime for euphonium and piano. Erica Miller joined him on the piano, and Jaheim is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Jaheim, you just turned me into a huge fan of the euphonium with that performance. Just stunning. Tell me how you got started with it.
That's actually a very funny story. Back in fourth grade, I went to an art school, and at the time I was in dance, but my friend was in orchestra, so I was like, I want to go play an instrument. So I put orchestra on my thing, and then they put me into the band class. And then I was like, oh man, I'm in band, but I wanted to be in orchestra playing the violin. And then they put us through the test your instrument, which one do you like the most? And I picked up the euphonium, and I was like, I love this thing. It's not a tuba, but it's not a slide.
Right.
And I heard people play, and I was like, this sounds beautiful. So after that, I kept on playing until basically the first time I played a solo for an actual audience. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this instrument. I want to be on stage in my future playing the euphonium specifically.
It just spoke to you. It's crazy that you went in thinking you were going to go for violin at the top register all the way up in the stratosphere, and then you ended up with this rich baritone sound with the euphonium. Talk to me a little bit about that first solo performance.
The solo's name was Believe Me of All Those Endearing Young Charms. It was like an accumulation of everything that I really loved at the time. And I was like, I want to put this in front of people. I want people to be able to be like, you remember that instrument that one guy played? The euphonium? And when I played it, all the audience was clapping, and everything that I worked for was just all put into one big cheer slash clap.
Yeah.
And that just like energized me to be able, I want to do this again. I want to do this for the rest of my life. I love being on the stage.
Yeah, just the sound of the applause was enough to just fill you up.
Yeah.
That's so great. I just love picturing that. I remember when I was, you know, a teenager and having that feeling for the first time of like the rush that you get after a performance, you know, and then getting that back every time you get to share your music with an audience. It's part of what keeps us going, I think.
Yeah.
I know that your vision for the music world is one that's more inclusive and that you see the euphonium as an important part of your vision for the future.
Everybody knows trumpet, obviously. Everybody knows the violin, obviously, right? But I want to be that person to be able to have people think about putting a euphonium in their scores, putting a euphonium on stage to solo for people.
You want to revolutionize the way people look at the euphonium. You're going to be a pioneer. You already are being a pioneer because you're speaking on National Public Radio about your love of the euphonium. It's happening.
I love it. I believe that euphonium should be treated like trumpet and violin. It gets on my nerves sometimes when people say, oh, do you play the French horn?
Mm-hmm.
Euphonialist means pretty. My instrument literally means pretty sound. I just love it so much.
I can tell.
I play in my garage with the doors closed so that I don't disturb everybody. But my neighbors was like, here's a $50 gift card. Would you like to come to our church and like come play for us? He said, if you come to church with your instrument and you come speak to us, we will give you an audience and we will give you a stage.
How'd that make you feel?
Like I'm starting to get off the ground.
Right. And your music is making an impact. Sometimes even when you don't realize it, like people are hearing you and they're loving it. I'm very proud to say that you're a Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award recipient. That means that we at From the Top are supporting you on your journey. And you actually just performed on a brand new euphonium, right?
Yeah, I love this euphonium. This is basically the best one until I can actually just make my own line.
Oh man, I can't wait until you put out your own line of euphoniums. Another part of your Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award was that you got to attend an audition, which required you to take your very first flight. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It was to go audition for Eastman. Seeing my dad wave at me, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going on my own to a whole different state, and I'm going by myself on a plane.
Yeah, and with your instrument, no less, right?
Yeah. Well, I sat down, but every single person was like, shouldn't that be checked? Shouldn't that be checked? I think that's a bit too big. And I was like, it's a fragile instrument. I have a reserved seat for it. I strapped it beside me. It's just sitting on the seat. Sometimes I might get bonked on the head because of how short I am. But for the most part, it's just chilling there.
It's so clear to me that you have this passion around the instrument and that you need to share it with the world. I feel that coming from you. And so I know it's going to happen. I just know it. And I'm really glad that you got to be on From the Top today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for letting me be here.
18-year-old Jaheim James from Winter Haven, Florida, one of the great young euphonium players. After that exhilarating journey into the unfamiliar world of the euphonium, which Jaheim has fully converted me to, I'm ready to return to my happy place, the piano, with our final performer, Isabel Bruning. Isabel, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to From the Top.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to have you here today. What are you going to play?
I'll be playing Rachmaninoff's Etude Opus 33 number 1 in F minor.
What do you love about playing this piece, or what would you like us to be listening for as you perform it?
I really like the sense of drive and purpose throughout the piece, and I think it's a lot different from what Rachmaninoff is known for in his like lyricism.
Right.
And this piece is much more focused. I like how it's a contrast to the middle section, and then it ends with the same sort of ferocity, but then it ends, it just like tapers off in the end.
Great. Let's hear this ferocious etude. Whenever you're ready, take it from the top.
Okay.
Eighteen-year-old pianist Isabel Bruning from Newark, Delaware, performed Rachmaninoff's Etude Tableau Opus 33 No. 1 in F minor, and Isabel is one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. That was ferocious indeed, Isabel. I think that's the word you used to describe it. It was driving, it was rhythmic, it was energizing. I really love the way you played it.
Thank you.
We can nerd out for a moment as pianists. Tell me about how you approach all of those driving left-hand octaves throughout the piece. What kind of work do you do to practice that?
I feel like I play a lot of octaves in my repertoire. I like to practice just the pinky before putting them together.
Nice. Do you ever practice just the thumb too?
Yeah, sometimes. But I feel like the pinky is harder to get the right weight into it.
Yeah. You just had a really exciting concert opportunity recently.
Yeah, I've had my first time playing a concerto with an orchestra in November.
Wow. What did you play? Who did you play with?
I played the first movement of Grieg's Piano Concerto with the Wilmington Community Orchestra.
Oh, that is one of my favorite pieces, and that must have just been such a thrill to be up in front of the orchestra playing that epic piece.
It was really surreal just being a part of something so huge and feeling so many people playing with me. Mm-hmm. It just felt like I'd stepped into a concert that I was listening to.
That's the best. You went to Italy not long ago. Did you have a favorite spot?
Probably Florence. I'm really into history, so seeing the Duomo and all the Renaissance artworks was just really special.
I actually heard that your love of history and ancient cultures is maybe going to be involved in what you're studying next year in college.
So I'm going to Princeton University, and I'm not sure what I'm going to be majoring in yet, but I know I'm doing a minor in archaeology. as well as piano performance.
Wow. Congratulations, first of all, in Princeton.
Thank you.
Where did your passion for archaeology begin?
My whole life. My mom bought me a lot of ancient world history books when I was really little, and I just grew up like reading them over and over again. We also travel a lot, so we went to a lot of museums where we'd see ancient artifacts, and it's just always been something I really loved.
Nice. Before you go, a big congratulations for being one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists.
Thank you.
What do you plan to do with the award, or have you already put the award towards something?
I'm going to a summer music festival. It's called Borromeo, and it's in Switzerland, in the Alps.
Wow. It's going to be beautiful. And we are so happy to be supporting your musical studies. Congratulations again. And just a stunning performance of that Rachmaninoff.
Thank you.
Isabel Bruning, 18 years old from Newark, Delaware. Wow, these musicians we've had today, just unstoppable. They've left me feeling humbled and inspired. Thank you to all of them for their performances, for their great stories, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm your host, Peter Dugan. Please join me next week for more glorious music here on From the Top. Thanks to all of the sound engineers who worked on today's program, Gene Nemirovsky and Max LeBien at WFMT in Chicago, Ron Haidt at Common Tone Arts in Seattle, Washington, Bob Beck at University of Missouri Kansas City Conservatory in Kansas City, Liam Kreos at Valencia College in Orlando, Florida, and Kevin Carrillo at Sound on Sound Studios in Montclair, New Jersey. From the Top is produced by Megan Swan and Abigail Desser. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar, with editing and mastering by Rodrigo Cuenca. Our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov. Thank you.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from Senior Helpers, providing families with personalized in-home care for seniors and those living with Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's, committed to helping loved ones remain safe and independent at home at seniorhelpers.com. And from BritBox, dedicated to helping people discover British crime series, including new seasons of Silent Witness, Blue Lights, and The Responder starring Martin Freeman. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. This is NPR.
You're listening to ICANN. Oregon Coast Aquarium is a journey from seafloor to shore, and we're offering a wave of new experiences. This summer, you can hone your climbing skills in their new nature play area. Then head over to their outdoor amphitheater to meet a cast of animal ambassadors, or view their headwaters feature to follow a raindrop's voyage from the mountains to the sea. You can plan your next adventure at aquarium.org.